this week is a sideshow episode that we just recorded, and we just wanted to give you guys a little intro what to expect. What did we talk about? We talked about Bruce Springsteen,
autopsies,
mediumship.
Yep, developing mediumship.
Pure fun before the live show.
Yeah.
Oh, pet death.
Yeah, there is some pet death, and I do talk about the specific action of the pet death. So you can skip through that if you want to. I'll put the times in the show notes.
Alzheimer's.
And then we talked a little about Alzheimer's and stuff like that. So there's some content warnings for you if you want to tread light on that. There's, but mostly it was a fun conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we hope you enjoy it.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. I've been looking at those cookies. So.
Not like this.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I mean, it's amazing what just a couple inches does.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
But I'm shh.
You right. can't leave that so
I
wide open.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. So, welcome everybody.
Welcome.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Sideshow. This is sideshow number 14. Is it 14?
I don't know.
15?
I guess.
It's 15. I didn't write it down.
You didn't.
It's a number.
It's a number between 13 and 18. I think it's 15 because I think the Mod Podge one was 14. Anyway.
Which is wrong.
Yeah.
Even as I was saying it, I was like, this isn't right. But I just
Hodgepodge?
Yeah, I meant Hodgepodge.
I know.
She's talking about the gifts. And how it was just like a bunch of different things put together. She's like, it's like a Mod Podge of gifts. And I didn't say anything either because I was like, I think it's hodgepodge.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say anything in case I'm wrong. And then when I was editing it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it is. And I looked up Mod Podge. And it's not even Mod Podge. It's Mod Podge. And it's a crafting thing where you use
Like glue.
Yeah, it's like a glue mixture that you
like a glue
hold shit together.
Yeah. You do it a lot in like collages. You'll Mod Podge.
Yeah. But I always said it Mod Podge when I was younger too. So I thought it was funny that you did. And then I did ask Megan, is it okay if we make fun of you a little bit and call it that?
Obviously.
She was like, yeah, of course. So anyway,
if our friendship isn't built on making fun of each other, then what are we even doing?
Right. Yeah. So that was, I think that was number 14. Okay. Anyways.
I do have something I'd like to start with if we go, because this involves Megan. Do you remember where we met?
Yeah. At the brewery.
Which one?
I don't know. The monkey one?
Come
was
on,
it a
she
monkey
got
one?
Most of it right.
You were close.
12 monkeys.
It was a number.
You did get the number right.
12 so bananas.
It's number 12 cidery, and they are closing at the end of the year.
What?
So I happened to see this, and I was like, oh, well, I should bring this in for you want. One, it's the La Route, which is one of their flagship ciders, but they are closing. They opened December 2018, and they're closing. I just saw a notification on Facebook yesterday.
Why?
Oh, that's too bad.
I didn't see anything, but they will be having several can sales and activities before then. Yep.
Thank you. Do you guys want any?
I will be having one myself.
I'm good. I'll finish this one. Yep. I'm having
Banshee Cutter.
Banshee Cutter by Insight.
Yeah. This is a lot better than
Insight
that
Insight is a kind of Northeast Minneapolis brewery. And this is one of their beers that they've had for a long time, but I hadn't seen it for a while. It is a golden coffee ale. Yeah.
Golden ale with coffee. It's really good. I don't honestly taste the coffee, but I think that's because I've already had two giant cups of coffee today. And so that's like all I can taste.
Here's what AP got. This is delicious. Mm-hmm. This is refreshing.
And I knew you were a cider person, but I was like, I saw that news last night. I almost messaged you. And then I was like, no, I'll wait for the side chat to bring it up.
That's really too bad.
I know. I think there's just, it's a lot of overhead, I'm guessing, for a lot of stuff that they do. And they do a lot of very specialized cider types. And it's a great area. So something else will go in there, I'm sure. It's not too far from the Twin Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That it was a very cute space. I mean, it's really, and they had the food truck when we were there. And
God, it and it's so actually good. One of the owner's wives has that little pizza food truck.
Yes.
She runs
God,
that.
It was so good.
Yeah, something tomato, little tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also very good. So yeah, I don't know, but they did say they are going to have some holiday markets and stuff throughout the month of November and December. So
oh, good.
If anybody's listening and wants to check it out, now's your time.
And it's called again, what, 12?
Number 12 Cidery.
Number 12 Cidery. And it's in
It's in Minneapolis. Indeed, it's in Northeast. Yep, not too far off of like the North Loop area from.
Okay. Is it by that winery you took me to?
Yes.
Okay. It's not also too far closed.
From, yeah. Axbridge closed.
That area is booming, I tell you.
I'm guessing rent is pretty expensive in the area. Yeah.
That used to be a cheap part of town.
Yep.
And then all these places moved in, and now it became
North
quite
Loop is now a very, very marketable space. Yep. So the Axbridge Winery, their label still continues, or like their winemaking, but they were a sister winery to another one in Waconia. So everything just moved back out to Waconia.
Okay. I feel like Waconia is a big wine area.
Is it?
They've got three wineries out there.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yep.
Cool. All right. Well, that's the alcohol update of the day.
I know that's what everyone was waiting for. Yeah. So
Of the local breweries in Minneapolis.
This is so good.
Well, and I went with the semi-dry versus the dry because I know you like a little bit sweeter things.
I do.
I prefer the super crisp dry. Yeah. But I was like, this is really pretty good. So if you want to try it,
yeah, it's delicious.
Okay, good. Okay. Oh, I just wanted to chat a little bit about the live show.
Yes, yep. it was so much fun.
That was really fun. I was so fucking nervous.
I know you were.
I couldn't eat. My stomach was in jumbles, and I was so afraid something was going
to
go wrong.
Had a bit of a week leading up to it.
I did.
So I think some of that played into it as well.
I did. That was a heavy week. This goes into this too. I don't want to dwell on it, but our old dog Foz crossed the Rainbow Bridge that week, just a couple days before, and so that was sad. Rough. Remind me to tell you about something that happened during it.
Yes.
It was bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't know. Well,
I remember you told me that.
I'll just tell you. I might cry. But
I'll carry on.
Friends, this is a major trigger warning for you. If you don't want to hear about Fozzie's passing, you're going to want to skip ahead. And I'm going to give you plenty of time here to run to whatever device you're watching this or listening to this on and hit stop. Because I do go into pretty detailed account of his passing. The only reason I brought it up, it's not gruesome or anything. It's just something really weird happened. I don't know if it's physical or spiritual or whatever. And I wanted to run it by Amy and Megan and you guys too. So if you have any ideas about what you think happened, if you do happen to listen to this part, let me know. Let me know what you think. If you want to avoid this, I would just fast forward until I'm not talking about this anymore, and you should be okay. When the procedure was happening and the doctor told us everything that was going to happen, you know, this might happen, that might happen. He may gasp, he may do this, blah blah blah, all this kind of stuff. It's just muscles, you know. It's not. He's not coming back to life or anything like that. It's just and you know, all good vets will tell you what to expect.
Yep.
You know, and we're like, yeah, we've done this 1,000 times. We know. And so he, you know, administered the stuff. He was checking his heart. And then he said, his heart has stopped. Mm-hmm. And he and the lady got up and he said, we're going to leave you with him. You can stay as long as you want and just leave when you want to leave. They have a separate little door that you can just leave out of. So you don't have to walk through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really they can, nice. That is really nice. When Snoops died, they didn't have that. And like,
a lot of places don't because it's not set up that way.
Yeah.
You know, really when they're set up 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
It was rough.
Yeah. So we stayed in there for a little bit and I had my hand like on his, I guess, lung to stomach area.
Yep.
And I was just, you know, sitting with him like that. And I was, to be honest, making sure that his heart had stopped.
Yeah.
I've heard so many horror stories. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there like that. Greg got up to wash his hands and Fozzie's whole body started. Well, that section started vibrating.
What?
It was, it felt like, you couldn't see it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It felt like a electric charge or something going. Mm-hmm. I've never had this happen in all of the animals that we have done this with. It was vibrating. And I'm like, oh my God. And you could see my hand was moving. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Greg, look at this. And I was like, it's vibrating. Mm-hmm. And then it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And then it got slower and slower and slower until it stopped.
Did you ask the vet about it?
No, I never saw the vet again.
Oh.
But I will ask him about that. Have you heard of that?
No, but it does go into that muscle spasm aspect of, at least from how it sounds a little bit, of that, you know, like stuff like that can happen where it's like all of a sudden that jolt just comes through and you see with other things that it's not like the passing has happened, but then there's just something there's.
Yeah, you there's know, other stuff that goes
there's
on.
There's something that just, you know, is clicking all the way the rest of the way through. And
could be.
But yeah, I've not heard of that.
It felt electric. It didn't feel like organic bodily stuff. It felt like he had, you know, someone stuck a toe into the light socket or something. It was a steady, like mechanical type vibration. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is weird. I'm sure too with Foz is, you know, that I don't think he liked to do things on the easy route. He sounds very much like our Gordon Setter that we had, who liked to do things his own way and just make sure, hey, by the way, I'm going to be memorable.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, he was already memorable. Yes. Yeah, but yeah. And then I also had a dream just a couple nights ago that I had come downstairs to, for some reason, all the dogs were downstairs and I was calling them up to be fed. And the three remaining came up. And then this Airedale came up from the stairs. And I was like,
wow,
what? And I was like, well, you can't be Fozzie because, first of all, your body's not here. So how could, you know, you would come reanimated or whatever. And I looked and, you know, Fozzie had this huge sore on his face. And the dog didn't have that. And the dog had dark black on him, like Murphy, our first Airedale.
Oh.
And so I was like, are you Murphy? Are you Murphy? It was the weirdest thing, but I thought it was both of them. Turned out, I think it was Murphy. And I'm like, how did you survive all this? I mean, Murphy died like 10 years ago. I haven't fed you, you know, and it didn't in the dream. It wasn't a ghost dog. It was a real dog that had been downstairs all this time. And Murphy never even lived in this house. But it felt like maybe it was a combination of the two of them, or maybe they're the same soul. I don't know.
Yep, I was going to say maybe they had some of that same and they were just like letting you know, hey, by the way, we're okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's always that big thing. I remember, I think the first time I really had a major dream about Briggs, it was months after his passing. And it was... Actually, I was in the Boundary Waters and I was wearing the sweatshirt that I held him in when he passed. Because when we went and I let him go, we were outside. I was in sweatpants and a sweatshirt because that's basically what I had slept in that night. And we were outside and I laid with him. I had his head in my arms next to my chest, had my head over him and just kind of like wrapped around him in a big spoon kind of thing. So I know exactly, like, even when she administered the stuff that's supposed to just make their muscles relax, he was gone at that.
Oh, really?
I knew he was gone at that point. Wow. Like he was ready to go kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I can't remember what the dream was, but I remember telling my sister the next day, I'm like, I just had my dream about Briggs and I hadn't washed that sweatshirt yet.
Oh,
It took me a long time to be able to wash that sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to, you know. I'm sure there's plenty of his dog hair still in the house.
Oh, there's plenty of. Fozzie didn't even really shed.
No, because he's got that, had that tight curl.
Yeah, but there's so much dog hair.
But that's awesome that you got a little bit of a sign.
Yeah, it was good. Anyway, and it was time. You know, he was almost 17. He's a big dog, so.
Yeah, it's old for a big dog.
Yeah, it really is.
Yep. Really? And sometimes they just have to, they're like, okay, I'm telling you now, now is truly the time. Yeah. You don't have to question.
Yeah. Well, he couldn't walk anymore. I had to carry him outside to go potty. And he wouldn't eat.
That's always the worst part though, is when you're like, oh, but what if
I'm doing this for me and not for him? Yeah.
Or what if, you know, like last time it took him this long to bounce back and, you know, what if, and it's like, no, he knew he had to be very, very firm.
Right.
Briggs, the same thing.
So anyway, Well,
so going up to the
non-cheery part,
going up to the live show, it was a rough week for you.
It was a rough week. So yeah, there's that. So it was a weird week.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it ended nicely. Yes. It ended well. That was a super fun show.
It was really fun. We got a lot of participation, a lot of stories.
Oh, good. I had to leave. I had family obligations that we went to, and so it was a very fun filled day. So I enjoyed getting to have, thanks for adjusting the schedule to have Leah and Dawn up right away.
Really, yeah,
that was fun.
I knew you wanted to be there when Dawn was there for
yeah so I appreciate that.
Sure. Well, anyway, it was super fun. Mm-hmm. Those of you who remember when Dawn was on and she talked about her pervy ghost, mm-hmm. She was able to work with Leah after the episode, after we were done. Good. And I think she got rid of it.
I was really hoping, because I was talking with Leah, then Dawn came in. I said hi to Dawn and introduced them, and I really wanted to be like, oh, she's got a pervy ghost, maybe mm-hmm. you can help her, but I didn't. I was like, I'll let that just come naturally on its own. And I know Dawn is actually taking different classes and things too to learn medium, you know, her own skill set and that sort of stuff. Good. And
I want to do that too.
Yeah, it was such a fun.
Do you want to share what you did?
Yeah. That's a good segue.
Okay.
Because, so last week after the live show, I sat down with Leah and I'm like, look, I've been like getting a lot of signs this year, like a lot of ringing in my ears. Even like Friday, I had ringing. No, yesterday I had ringing in my ears when John and Jordan were in the car when we were going to Papa's house. And so I was like, I get it. Like, I'm freaking trying. So I met with Leah, and she kind of, to try to open up my gifts and to try to understand how to drop whatever barriers I've created and how to open myself up to it. And so it was super, super nice. And one thing she shared with me that has completely changed me was she was talking about, you know, what are your biggest inhibitors? And I'm like, I don't want to let anything bad in. Like, that's mm-hmm. my biggest fear is something bad comes in and then it's terrorizing my family and I don't know how to get rid of it. And she's like, well, would you ever let a mean person in your house? And I'm like, well, obviously not. Like, and she's like, it's the same thing. And mm-hmm. I'm like, so I'm like the mom and the ghosts are like the kids. Mm-hmm. And she's like, exactly. And mm-hmm. so that was like the biggest, like, freeing feeling. I felt it in me. Like, I felt a change.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Where I'm like, yeah, you don't run this show. Mm-hmm. Like, because she said, she's like, when Jordan steps out of line, you don't even think about it. I'm like, no, I just immediately am like, nope, we're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge, amazing thing.
That's a great way to think about it, because you don't necessarily feel like you would be in charge.
Mm-hmm. Right. But she's like, no.
But if you just assume that you're in charge, they're going to feel
she's
that.
She's like, it's your space. Would you mm-hmm. let somebody, a neighbor who was being aggressive and mm-hmm. violent in your house? And I'm like, well, no. And she mm-hmm. goes, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been trying to, the past like few nights, I've been repeating like, you know, you guys can come. Like, who has the most important message for me? So they're not bombarding me, because then I'll, you know, feel overwhelmed.
Of course, they all mm-hmm. think they're the most important.
I know. So, but I've been picturing, and she said to picture, so you need to set boundaries. So picture like a perimeter around your house, like a protection, whatever that looks like to you. And so I'm like, well, in my mind, it looks like just I'm in a big bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, and make sure it goes underneath the house. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, make sure it goes under the foundation. And so I've just kind of been picturing my house like floating in a bubble.
Sure.
And then another way is like, one thing that she told me was, you know, you can set boundaries, and if people, or not people, but spirits cross those, she's like, what does boundaries look like to you when you envision it? And I said, well, it looks like my, like all the windows in my house being bricks in them. So like they can't get through. So windows, doors, any entrance is just mm-hmm. instantly bricks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, what kind of bricks? And I'm like, well, the, you know, bright red mm-hmm. with like the white ground in them. And so it was so nice. And it was like 45 minutes that we were good. That we talked, and we set up another meeting in 2 weeks to kind of figure out what's been working for me, mm-hmm. what hasn't been working for me. So I've been really like focusing on doing that. And like, I invite, you know, spirits with love and positivity. Another thing she talked about was you can say set an intention for like anything once it crosses into your house will be, any illusion will be destroyed. So if something's masquerading as like a child, but it's not, it's a mean person.
Yeah.
She's like, if you set that intention, that will, when they cross that threshold, their true form will be revealed.
Okay.
Oh, so, nice. That's cool.
So I've been, and like, I still, and she, I still have these like moments of fear. Mm-hmm. But she said that'll, you know, linger. But I'm, when I get them, I'm like, nope, I'm in charge. Mm-hmm. You're not. Mm-hmm. I am. Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And so that like pushes it away.
Yeah. And I bet that'll get better over time. That's the more you're said. Used yeah. to that, it just won't even come in anymore.
So when I'm laying in bed, I've been kind of like, okay, you know, I'm open if you want to come in, if you want to, you know. And she said to make sure that you are very clear and like you have to communicate a message in a language I understand. Mm-hmm. In a way I understand. And then, remember the terrifying dream I had in the Middle East where the big thing came at me?
Yeah.
She's like, and maybe people knew this, but she's like, a lot of times you can't take it literally. So I've been taking it literally. Mm. Like there was this evil thing in my apartment that wanted me out. And she's like, it was just the spirit's way of, you know, what was going on in your life at that time. And I'm like, well, I was not doing great with my roommate. Like we were very, very at odds. Like I've never been in a more vicious roommate fight in my entire life. Right. College, anything. Mm-hmm. Never as this. And so she's like, that's what it was.
Mm.
So
remember that dreams are not reality.
I know. Like when I had that dream about Greg driving us into a brick wall, I was like, that means I'm going to die, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
But yeah, you and Zoe and I think somebody else all told me that it was my, in some way I'm feeling like I'm not in control.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's been like very, I've been very, very excited and I'm trying not to be impatient. Like, okay, I've done this 3 days ago. Yeah. Why isn't everybody coming to talk to me?
Yeah. Jerks. Have you had any messages?
No, but I listened to a meditation last night about opening up your mediumship and the guy was talking about like, so we're walking into a garden and you see somebody and he's like, what does that person look like? And I was like, well, it's a woman with long blonde hair and, you know, to the middle of her back. It wasn't you. It was straight, unfortunately. And they're like, well, that's your spirit guide. And instantly my mind was like, Tiffany, that's Tiffany.
Oh,
very cool.
So
because that name has popped up for you a few times when you're just trying to think of a woman's name. Yep, it comes up.
And Stacy.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, there's Tiffany. So I was like picturing that. And like, I pictured that we went and we sat down on a bench and I'm like, no, do you have any messages for me? And what do you want me to know? And so
she's like, oh boy, how much time have you got?
It's about fucking time. Do you know, I've got a journal for this shit.
Would you like it alphabetically?
Yeah. She's like, how do you want to do this? So yes, that's been very, very exciting. And another thing, I'm sorry, I'm totally monopolizing this. But on Saturday last week at the live show, when we were talking, she's like, I see a grandma figure. And I'm like, yeah, I get that a lot. It's my mom's mom. And I said, but I'm adopted. And so, because she was telling me how my gifts come from my mom's family. Mm. And I was like, well, I'm adopted, you know, so I don't know. And she goes, she's like, your birth mom was your vessel to get you to this parent, to this family.
Oh,
and I'm
nice.
Like, good, because she's fucking nuts. Oh my God. I told her this week, so I have my first, I just turned 40. And so I have my first mammogram next week.
Mm-hmm.
And I reached out to her and I'm like, does breast cancer run in your family? Because it does. And she goes, yeah, it does. And I said, oh, okay, I have my first mammogram next week. Never got one, never will.
Okay, well, good for you.
Yeah, take that third breast you have now and, you know.
Oh, she hates Western medicine, smokes a pack a day. Like,
okay. Oh, boy.
Cool.
That's her choice.
Yeah. Well,
Megan, what day was it that I messaged you? It must have been Wednesday.
Yes, because I told Leah about that and we started off and so
I wasn't in this message.
No, you weren't
in this message.
Because I debated, I kept trying not to I'm like, no, I don't need to send that to Megan, but I kept getting this like ping. And I woke up Wednesday morning from a dream that said, you need to talk to Megan. You need to talk to Megan. And I was like, no, I don't want to get him. Like, it had to do with Jordan and his ghosts and that sort of stuff. And I was like, I'm not going to do it. So I I was messaging you when I got to work because it was yeah. consuming my brain because it was like, just do it. And as soon as I messaged you, I was able to focus on other stuff.
Yeah.
But I woke up with this and, you know, like I get this like gut, like you got to tell him, you got to tell him, you got to yeah. tell him. And it was ask Megan if she's ever asked Jordan, well, what does it look like?
Mm-hmm.
Or to draw something.
Draw, yeah, that's
versus
good idea,
just asking where he might be like, oh, mom thinks it's a little girl, so I'm going to go with little girl. You know, and so I can't remember what the dream was. All I just know is like, I was at a party area, something, and someone pulled me aside and said, said stuff. I can't remember who they look like, what they sounded like, what it was, but I just woke up and it was like 3 a.m. when I woke up that said,
yeah,
you need to talk to Megan. And then it was, you know, when I woke up later in the day, it was like, you need to talk to Megan. And so I messaged her and I'm like, I'm not trying to tell you how to do anything. I just like, I had this gut punch that told me that I needed to message you and see if you've asked these questions to mm-hmm. him. So,
yeah. And I told Leah that and she's like, yeah, they're trying. I'm like, I have had more experiences this year. Like,
oh yeah, we all have, I think.
Of the ears.
Because we're more open to it.
The guy talking next to me in the drive home when I was on the phone with you.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I was like, who the fuck said that? Like, I literally turned my head expecting there to be somebody on 494 by my car window.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told Leah, I said, I don't want to like be a messenger for other people. I don't want to, you know, I just want whoever's trying to get a hold of me and my relatives. That's what I want.
Well, apparently I am a messenger for some people.
I would like to be a messenger for other people too.
I want my own too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I do. It was... it's not cheap, but it's not exorbitant.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was very, very, very helpful.
I mean, it sounds like there were aspects of that were life-changing. And you can't put a price on that.
No,
so.
It was wonderful. Like, yeah. I can't wait to do it again in 2 weeks. So I think we did it for November because we did it on Halloween. So it was 2 weeks after that. So I think the 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So, yes, well, it was very, very
nice. If you want to, you can tell us how that goes.
Of course I will. Let's be real.
So if anybody's interested in having an experience like that with Leah, her info will be in the show notes.
Yes.
I just noticed, again, you two are dressed alike and I'm not.
Oh, well. I had a different shirt on and then I spilled chocolate on it. So
I have my shirt on under this, the podcast shirt. Oh. But I don't have a shirt on. No, I do. But I've just been really cold because it's getting to be cold. Really, we had our first snow. Yeah. Of course, Halloween. So, of course, Jordan, this was his first year trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
Do you ever trick-or-treat in Minnesota without a winter coat?
Not usually. No.
So we had our winter coat on over it. And
yeah, I remember I hated that. Yeah. I hated that. I'm like, I wanted everyone to see my costume. But I think a lot of times, especially now what kids do, I mean, when I was little, you know, it was the dark ages and we all just walked up to our strangers and asked for candy. But now I think what people do is they take their kid to an event that's, mm-hmm. you know, at the community center, or they go to
a bunch
daycare.
Of parents walk with their kids and they have their own cocktails and flashlights.
But I mean, like a lot of things are indoors now. Yeah. So kids don't have to worry about having a snowsuit on
or it's in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Trunk or treat.
Yep.
Yeah.
We went trick-or-treating at Papa's house this year.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the first ones out because we went super early because I got there from work and I'm like, we gotta do this now because once I sit down, I'm not gonna wanna do it. And so he got full size candy. He got three full size candy bars.
Oh my God.
He got a full size Hershey, a full size Twix, and a full size Skittles.
Nice.
My goodness.
We had 8 children in one group.
Oh my, that was it? That's it? Just
and
the one group?
Yeah, I was expecting more, but I think with the colds and how mm-hmm. just nasty the day was that people were like, well, we did the trunk or treats last weekend, or, you know, the daycares and preschools mm-hmm. and everything have something going on. So yeah. I, you know, we know that there's kids in the neighborhood, but this was the least we've had in a few years. So
it was nasty all day up until it was 4.
It was a cold, damp day.
Yeah,
not just snow. It rained first.
It rained, so, and then it was sleet, and then it was snow.
And then it went to snow. And actually, when we went to our land yesterday in Malacca, which is about an hour and a half north, a little less than that, but there was still snow on the ground.
Yeah. Oh, yep. Yeah.
It got in my bones.
Yeah.
I was going to say
chill stays in your bones.
And you cannot warm up.
I had
on 2 sweaters and a blanket sitting on the couch and I was still cold.
Deer stand when we've had that kind of weather and it's just a damp chill. And it was, you know, it wasn't like super cold, but the dampness in the air made it so cold. I remember getting home, and now it's like hours after I've been in my deer stand, and I am in a sweatshirt and a blanket, and I have taken a hot shower, and I just cannot get that to shake out.
I know. It's so bad. You need a wearable blanket like what I have.
Yes. Oh, I have all sorts of things, but yeah.
One of those.
We do, and I wear it for that you got me, or you got us, and I wear it when I'm in meetings, and everyone's like, that is the coolest thing. I'm like, my friend got it for me. Everybody is always so jealous of that. I'm like, it's that patina. I went there. It's still there.
Yeah. Nice.
They're so nice.
I know, they are really nice. Yeah. They're super nice.
Also, one other thing. So I passed my probation at work. Yay.
Woohoo.
And so now hopefully this.
Now, for background, your work has about a year-long probation. Yeah, she wasn't put like on probation. It was when you're hired on, they have a very long
probation period
for if you're going to be staying.
It was bad.
Which makes no sense to me because this is a no-fault state. And you can get fired day 3 or day 89.
It's a little bit trickier with government because there's more processes to follow. But yeah, essentially it's still a no-fault state. Anyway, since I've passed probation, now hopefully sometimes this fall, actually winter now, but I will get to watch an autopsy.
You'll have to let us know how that goes.
I'm so excited. I told the chief medical examiner, who's just a delight. Oh my God, I love her so much. But I'm like, no children, please.
Yeah.
And she's like, we don't do children.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good, because I can't do that. But
that would be hard.
I'm really, 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 really excited to see it.
Prepare yourself.
I know. I've smelled the death because I've already visited it.
Yeah, I thought you had.
It's in there and it's not pungent. Pleasant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
Vicks, a little Vicks down here.
There is something about when you see something that has been alive, the inside.
I'm
a little nervous because, you know, I don't like gore and blood and stuff makes me squeamish. But
be bloody because
no,
yeah. Just because it's not squirting out doesn't mean it's not going to ooze out.
I suppose. Because I mean, there's still blood in there.
There's still blood until they flush it all out.
Yeah.
So, but yes, I need to coordinate that with her. But
that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that. That should be
cool.
Coming.
Cool. All right. The only thing I didn't tell you is about my mom's new nickname.
Yeah.
So this is not, I didn't even know about this. My cousin was here a couple weeks ago. She kept calling my mom Boots.
Why?
And I'm like, where is she? Why is she calling her Boots?
Yeah.
Well, then I had my mom and Sherry, my cousin Tiffany's mom, over here and we recorded them talking.
Yeah.
And Sherry's real name is Cheryl. And my mom, when they were little, my mom told her, you don't want to be called Cheryl. You should pick a nickname.
Oh.
And so she picked Sherry. And then, I know.
So nice.
And then, Sherry goes, well, you never liked your name either. And she said, oh no, I hate Barb. I hate Barb, Barb. And I go, then how come when people ask you if you want to be called Barbara or Barb, you say, oh, I don't care. Everything's fine.
I hate when people do that.
So I'm like, if you don't like Barb, tell people not to call you Barb.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I prefer Barbie. And then, which I don't know.
What?
I know. She's always, because she taught dancing for 50 years. And she was Barbie Lee. That was her.
Oh, okay.
That's why I call her Barbie sometimes. Her name is, her dance school name is Barbie Lee.
That makes sense. Because I'm like, I have never heard her say she wanted to be Barbie. And all of a sudden now she wants Barbie.
She wants to be Barbie. Got it. But Sherry goes, no, you told us a long time ago that you wanted to be called Boots. And my mom, of course, doesn't remember any of
that. Of course not.
Was she wearing thigh highs or what?
I don't know. But I said, that's why Tiffany calls her Boots. And she said, yeah, it's something that my mom told Tiffany at some point that's the name, nickname she wanted. Or maybe she told Sherry and Sherry told Tiffany. I don't know. But so Tiffany always calls her Boots. And it always cracks me up because Tiffany is super sassy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she'd be like, Boots, what are you doing? And it always makes me laugh. So
that's awesome.
I will heretofore be calling my mom Boots on our show because it's easier than like, I don't have to worry about
Barb.
Barb. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like Barb anyway.
Barb.
I love it.
Yeah. So she's Boots. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break.
Hey everyone, AP here, and really wanted to talk to you about Wantable, which I love because I hate going to the store to try clothes on. I don't like being in the dressing rooms. The lighting's always bad. The mirrors aren't great. I'd rather try things on in the comfort of my own home. So I use Wannable to treat myself. Go in and select a style edit. Have them send that to me. Get surprised by the different items that might be in there. Some are outside my comfort zone, but it's funny how when I try those on, they end up being some of my most favorite items. I have a handful of items in my wardrobe right now that I have worn several times in the last couple months, and they're going to get continued use. Highly recommend you check out Wannable.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/wantable. And here's how it works. You pay a $20 styling fee. Whatever you keep, they subtract the styling fee plus another $25. So you basically get $45 off your order. It's a great deal. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style.
Well, I have like recommendation circle. I've got a few of them.
Okay.
So one first was watch Salem's Lot the other day. Mm-hmm. So my dad has been really wanting to watch this. It was one of his favorite, most scary books when he was a kid.
Okay.
And by kid, he was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So he lived in Coon Rapids, Fridley area. And they were in an old 50s style house that had the one level, but then it had a basement and it had the little like square windows.
Yes. Yep. So we have those in our house.
So his room was in the basement and
hated
he was
already.
You're going to love this.
Hate it so much.
He was reading the book, and in the book, there is a part where it's a child's knocking on his friend or brother's window and, "Let me in. I'm cold."
Oh, God.
And he had just gotten done with that. It was like close to midnight. He was going to go duck hunting the next day or deer hunting. One of the huntings with his buddy Kevin at the time. And my dad said he was just about to turn off the light or had just turned out the light. And he hears, "Rob, let me in. It's cold out here."
I would have shit my pants.
He said there are claw marks on the exposed beams at in that house from where he jumped to the ceiling because he was so scared. So he has a deep connection with this
was
book.
Was there
because
a person there?
It was his buddy, Kevin.
Fucking Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin. That's so Kevin.
That is, listen, typical Kevin.
So Kevin was very, dad was very excited about this.
I wonder if he was just waiting for your dad to turn out the light and go to bed.
No, because he didn't know my dad was reading it. So you know, so it just happened that it was coincidental kind of thing. But
son of a bitch.
So he was really excited for this. So we watched it and he's just like, he's like, this would have been better if they pulled it as a series. Mm-hmm. It's been done as a series before, but it would, you know, like they had a lot of stuff there, but they tried to rush it. And so you kind of lost some of the backstory and you didn't really get much of the story to it.
Yeah.
Which
makes me mad because if you can't pay homage to it the way it should be, then don't do it.
Yeah, I would say the last like 30-ish minutes of the show are pretty good.
So is it like a movie?
It is a movie.
Okay.
And so when they get the the town, I mean, spoiler, if you don't know Salem's Lot, everybody becomes a vampire basically. Mm. And they literally burn the town down at the end of the book. Mm.
Do they kill all the vampires or are the vampires the one burning the town down?
Why would the vampires play with fire?
I don't know. Do they like to live on the edge?
So they, in the show, it's just really interesting how they end up getting, I don't know if this is how it is in the book, but they end up getting a lot of the townspeople who are now vampires get hit by sunlight. But in this, this version, they not that they have to be out when it's dark out. They just have to be in shadows.
Oh, okay.
So
I read the book, but it was in the 80s.
So
I don't remember.
It was good. It was entertaining, but from both my dad and my brother's perspective, it just didn't capture enough of this. Like you didn't get a lot of the background. And then there was this whole piece of why one guy comes back to the town and then you never learn anything more. His parents were killed in a car accident, so then he got moved with family away from the town and he's coming back to research it, and then it's just like this cliffhanger that leaves.
Oh, yeah.
So but It's entertaining. And if you like Stephen King, he's an executive producer on it. So
oh, that's good. Okay, that's good.
So the other thing that I have as a recommendation is I grew up on Bruce Springsteen. Mm-hmm. And Bruce Springsteen has a new special out. It's called Road Diaries.
Okay.
With the E Street Band.
Is this the one that's on Disney?
Yes. It is a documentary. It's about an hour and 50 minutes. It's just under 2 hours. Springsteen has been, with the E Street Band, has been a rock icon for 50 years. He has had every Republican president since Reagan or president nominee try to use his board in the USA and not realize that the song that they are using is not the anthem they think it is.
Because they don't even think to listen to the fucking lyrics.
They listen to Born in the USA.
Yeah.
They
don't think.
Yeah. They don't listen to all of the aspects. And he is very, you know, smart in how he hasn't, he talks about how he's like, I've never worked a job in my life. I've always been a musician.
Yeah.
His dad was in the factory worker because he grew up in Asbury Park, New Jersey area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he talks about a lot of that. He's like, I write about it, but I've never done it. He's very honest about that. He could be a billionaire because he sold his entire catalog in 2021 for $550 million.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
But he also pays his band. In all of the company that comes along with that band are some of the highest paid because he knows that it's with them that he's successful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have been like, God, she pays them so well. It's like, yeah, because if I wasn't, you know, and they talk about in this, you know, he's got a song called Letters to You. It's off of his most recent album, I think it is. But just talking, a lot of things are about end of life. Things are coming up because they've lost two members of their band, one to cancer, one to a stroke and complications from a stroke. That was Clarence Clemens, who was the saxophonist.
I remember that.
In 2011.
Jeez.
His nephew, Jake, plays Clarence Clemens' saxophone and even the mouthpiece. Yeah. He uses that so he can connect with his uncle
really
play the sound of his uncle. And
that's cool.
It's hard to step into the big man's role because he was so iconic in the band and everything. And, you know, it's just really interesting. And, like, you know, hearing from Max Weinberg, who was also the drummer on
Letterman.
No, it was Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yep.
So Max Weinberg is always in like a suit and tie kind of thing when he plays. And he says something like, I never take my eyes off Bruce because you never know when he's going to change something.
Yeah.
When he does his sets, every city they go to is a different set list. Yeah. He remakes the set
list. That's awesome.
So it might be the same songs. It's just not always in the same order.
Yeah.
Or he changes out a song somewhere. Or when they were doing the river tour, they would... The song that they opened with, they just changed it every time just a little bit. Mm. And so, and they said one of his favorite things to do is go and get signs from fans in the audience of different songs that they want the band to do. And so they'll see like this smirk come up on his face and then he'll like show them the sign. They're like, I don't even know what we're supposed to be doing, but I guess they'll have to figure it out. So he's getting them like on the spot. Sometimes it's songs that they haven't played in years.
Wow.
Sometimes it's other people's songs. Like, he wrote Hungry Heart for the Ramones, but his manager was like, you should keep that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of his biggest hits. And that is a song that every concert I've gone to where he's played Hungry Hearts, and it's constant wherever he goes, is it kicks off and he never starts singing until like 2 minutes in. Mm. Everybody's singing it. And then he starts it over. And everybody sings it along.
That's cool.
They talk about when he goes to Europe, and Barcelona is one of the best places. And so this last, we did go to this last tour that they're still on. And it's very much about the musicians and the instrumentals and the different parts. And some people didn't like it because he didn't play all the hits. But he played some deep cuts that really showcase the...
I think the true fans probably appreciate it.
Because they all know all those songs anyway. Yeah,
you know, he played songs that I've never heard in concert. And it was so fun to hear and just... you know, the fun that they have. He talked about his wife, Patty, who she joined the band in 80 and they got married towards the end of the 80s. And he mentioned how he was a shitty husband the first time around. He had a wife prior to Patty. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, I was not good. Mm-hmm. And Patty's the reason that he's grounded and was present in the life of his children, because his father wasn't really present in his life.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and all of these things. And Patty actually has been battling cancer. And so they talked about that. And so she doesn't come out as much anymore. And just all of the things that go into what they do and the shenanigans that go on, and he still will do a 3-hour set.
Yeah, he's known for 75 doing really long
years
shows.
Old.
Yeah.
So if you like Springsteen at all, even just a little bit, I highly recommend it. He's just somebody that you can kind of get behind and respect with that. And I know he's like, I've been very vocal about my political opinions too. And you know, where he stands with that sort of stuff. And the last thing I'll leave with is that my mom said it after the last show, but he has a way of making you in the audience at whatever place he's at feel like that is the only place he ever goes to.
Yeah. Mm.
Like it's so genuine feeling from him. And you don't, like, you know he's going off other places and he's saying the same thing to other places, but it doesn't feel like he's saying the same thing to other people. So.
That's really cool. That's really neat.
That's cool.
Yeah. So that is my big recommendation.
Okay.
Love it.
Good. Yeah. I'll probably watch it because I grew up listening to him too.
Nice. And there was a behind the scenes thing that I think ABC did that was just before that was coming out. It's like Bruce Springsteen Backroads or Backstreets. Mm-hmm. Something Backstreets.
Probably Backstreets Back. And then they say, all right.
Backroads and Backstreets. I believe.
Nice.
Something cool. like that.
That's exciting. Yeah, check it out. Also, this is the last Sunday before the election.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's all we're going to say about that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, that's...
On that note. Okay.
So, next week, you will be able to meet Jenny.
Yay! Yep.
That's so exciting.
It's our interview with Jenny, which we've alluded to several times already.
What?
Well, it was so much fun, and we just keep talking about it because so many other things happened with it. But so you'll finally get to see Jenny and learn more about her.
She's delightful.
And she
you're
is a delight. Yeah, she's going to love her as much as we do. So there's still some new stuff you don't know about from that. And that's what we're going to do next week.
So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
The TAC Sideshow episodes are, well, the sideshow to our main event, The Activity Continues, where we recap episodes of the Dead Files TV show. Since we spend a lot of time going off the rails anyway, we thought we'd just release these parts separately for those who like hearing friends chat about any and every topic, sometimes paranormal, sometimes not. We hope you enjoyed this show. We will see you next week.
Looking for a hauntingly unique podcast this spooky season? Listen to I Talk to Ghosts for chilling ghost stories, genuine in-studio medium readings, and a virtual seance table where the spirits have an opportunity to speak directly to you. Find I Talk to Ghosts on all the podcast apps, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Happy haunting!